We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
Who knew when Little River Band wrote that song that every time somebody wanted to talk about an anniversary, hey, play that Little River Band song. Yeah. I do the same thing. Welcome back, everybody, at your service tonight. Dave Simon's filling in. In fact, when I, for those of you who get my weekly commentary that comes out on Friday, you'll recall that's how I started last Friday's commentary. In the subject line, I wonder, a lot of people who don't follow music like me probably wondered, why did he put in the subject, happy anniversary, baby, comma, got you on my mind? And I did like six eyes, mind. I thinking, that's kind of weird, but whatever. Other people obviously got it. So it is a little bit of an anniversary to talk about. So let me take you back 15 years. Do you remember what was going on in your corner of the world this time 15 years ago in early to mid-March of 2009? I know it is painful if you wanted to go deep into your memory banks and say, oh my goodness, all of these horrible memories and thoughts are coming back out, all from an economic standpoint. But yeah, it was, we didn't know it at the time, but it turned out to be the bottom of the Great Recession. To this day, the second worst economic crisis in this country outside of the Great Depression. And I don't know how many of you really understand how close we were to literally economically falling into the abyss. We really were. There have been some really good books written about that time. It was not good. And the kind of scrambling that was going on behind the scenes in D.C. and in New York to save this economy, it was panic time, even among Fed officials. Then it was Ben Bernanke. You had George W. Bush, who was the president for much of that time as the Great Recession started in late 07 and then went through 08. And then Barack Obama, of course, was elected president in November. He didn't even take over until January of 09. So he sort of inherited this. But things turned, as it turned out, in March. Now, on March 7th, that was a Saturday of 2009, this is back when I used to host seminars most of the time at the Ritz in Clayton. I really miss those days. I do. We're not really in the growth part of our business anymore, my business. But I used to do seminars maybe a couple times a year, sometimes three or four times a year. And that's how we actually got some of our clients. And I would use the KMOX airwaves, as many of you remember, on my Dollars and Cents show on Sundays to talk about the seminar that I'd have coming up. And we would pack the place. We'd get 200 people. We'd have to have a wait list, if you will, if anyone canceled. And I think back fondly of those seminars that I started hosting. I think the first one I did was 95 or 96. So I'm going way back. And I think the last one I did was 10 years ago, like 2014. But this was in, as it turned out, coincidentally, Saturday, March 7th at the Ritz. And I talked about the, and everyone showing up, we probably, including yours truly, might have had our shoulders slumped a little bit to the point of not looking like we had a lot of life in us because it was really a heavy time in this country. The housing market had completely collapsed. In the history of this country, we've never seen a housing market just fall in the dumps like that. And interest rates were taken to zero for the first time in history. We've since seen it again, of course, but this was the first time, just to try to save the economy. It was bad. And at that seminar, I said, and I don't make predictions like this hardly ever, but I said, I think we're at the bottom. And I'm going to circle back to that and tell you why I came up with that conclusion. The very next day, on March 8th, that was a Sunday, I hosted the Dollars and Cents show. And I said the same thing. And I said, look, I can't make predictions with 100% confidence, so take this for what it's worth. But based on the things that I'm seeing right now, which are unprecedented, I think the worst is behind us. I really do. And I'm not trying to give you the rah-rah speech and we're going to all get through this together collectively and let's sing the national anthem and everything is going to be fine. No, there were real reasons why I thought this was probably the bottom. And by the way, in our little corner of the world, in our team, we actually started to put money back to work. So we didn't just talk the talk. We were walking the walk at that time. The very next day, when the market opened for business on Monday, March 9th, the market started down a little bit and then went higher. And as it turned out, that Monday morning, March 9th, was the bottom. Nobody could have known it at the time. And the worst was over. Overall, from October 9th, 2007, to March 9th, 2009, the S&P 500 dropped 56.8%. Second worst ever. It's interesting when you look at the three main benchmarks during that time frame. The Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ. This is really crazy. I had to look at this to remind myself, oh yeah, that really happened. How close they were in terms of how far they fell during that time. In any major bear market, there's always going to be one index that doesn't go down as much as the others. And it's typically the Dow. The Dow is kind of the old-fashioned, boring, basic, older industrial-type companies. They don't go up as much during bull markets, but they don't fall as much in bear markets. The NASDAQ is typically the more volatile one, of course. You got a lot of high, innovative, technological type of companies. Today, it's a lot of AI-related stuff that's getting all the attention. But back then, get this, the S&P 500 during the Great Recession fell 56.8%. The NASDAQ fell 55.6%, literally just 1.2% less than the S&P. And the Dow fell 53.8%. That's crazy. That's never happened. At any time when one of the major benchmarks falls more than 30%, there's never been a time where all three are within just a couple percentage points, but it happened then. What does that tell you? It was across the board. There was no place to hide during the Great Recession, except if you bought bonds and had a diversified portfolio, of course, yeah, you were still down, but you didn't get hammered, and you didn't have to wait until 2013 when the S&P finally got back to where it was. You got back to even much before that because your bond portfolio held in there very, very well. When we come back, I want to explore this a little bit more because there's a reason why I talk about this. Why? I'm not some Wall Street analyst who is privy to any extra information. Why, when so many other people were predicting that this thing was nowhere close to being over, and oh my goodness, this thing is really going to fall off a cliff, what did I see that one of the very few times in my career I've ever gone public to make a market call? I don't feel that that's what I'm called to do. I don't do it. We just try to navigate through things as much as we can. I'll explain what I saw back then and how we can still use that as a lesson today. Stay with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, my friends, welcome back. 9:20 in St. Louis. Dave Simon sitting in tonight for At Your Service. I just thought when I said that time, 9:20, do we even really need to give time anymore? That's such an old-fashioned thing that people in the radio business will do. It's 9:20 in St. Louis. I think that was important back in the day. You're out there driving in your car back in the 60s and 70s, and you might have had a watch, but you didn't know that the watch was necessarily set right. Well, it was a couple minutes off. And we didn't really have a lot of cars back then, still didn't necessarily have clocks in there. And how many of you are old enough, showing my age, when you would call to get the time and temperature? Oh, yeah. And younger people, like my own now adult kids, late 20s, when I told them that, you did what? Yeah, you would call. There was a phone number. Time and temperature, we all call that. And you would get this little, you know, typically a woman would come on and say, the time is 9:21 and the temperature is 47 degrees. Like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Well, now, of course, everyone just has the phone right there in their pocket or in their hip or probably in their hand. You want to know what the time is? There it is. You want the temperature? Just click this button. Anyway, I digress. I just thought about that when I said the time. It's hard to break those old habits, maybe someday. So one of the criticisms that I have of the financial media, those who report on my business, is I've talked to financial writers before. I've gotten to know some of them over the years, and I'll tell them, you know, I've been on both sides. I started as a reporter and did that for 10 years. So I know your side of the business. And I've been managing money for 30 years. So yeah, I've shown my age here. So I know how the sausage is made on both sides. And I will tell you that those of you who have never actually managed money for human beings, it doesn't align with the stuff that we were all taught in Econ 101. Economic theory and how the stock market behaves and what you should do with mutual funds and things like that. And then you start managing money for these things called human beings with emotions and are run by fear and greed depending on the variations of where the market is any particular time. And so for me, one of the things that I learned very quickly on in this business, especially during the bull run of the internet bubble, which was the first time managing money that I had ever experienced. And I was there from the beginning. I was managing money in 95 when it all took off until it fell apart from 2000 to 02. And you can throw economic theory out the window when you're telling people, hey, it's going to come back. History show. I learned that in school. But try telling that to someone who just wants the pain to stop. Many people cannot hear you at that time. So I am a big student of what we call sentiment. And it works like clockwork. Look, nothing is guaranteed. But there are sentiment indicators that we look at, and I won't bore you with all of them now, but there are a number that our team will look at. And we can really tell, and we can hone in on when there is greed that's permeating the landscape and investors, they're mortgaging their own securities to get more money to buy even more stocks. People are quitting jobs and they're day trading and they're doing all of these crazy things. True story, I at the peak of the internet bubble in 99, I had a guy call me at when I was doing more calls on individual stocks and things like that. I couldn't give a buy, sell, or hold recommendation, but I could give you my opinion on certain things. And this guy calls and he mentions a company that I had never heard of before. And he said, oh yeah, it's an internet stock. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that name. What do they do? And he wasn't joking, and he said, they go up. That is a true story. I'll never forget that. I've told that story many times. And I just remember thinking, oh, this thing's out of hand. I mean, it just, but that's the sentiment that I'm talking about. And so when we're talking about in 09, let me tell you something. I've never seen sentiment so poor, ever. And I did some extra research in the few little sentiment indicators that had been around even back in the Great Depression. That was harder to find, but you could get a sense by really doing some research to figure out maybe when the market was bottoming and buying would come in because all the sellers were already out of the market. I really learned a lot when the market was cratering 2000 to 02, and then the rebound when nobody wanted to touch a stock. That's typically telling you, I think we're at the bottom. And therein lies why I decided on Saturday, March 7th at a seminar, at a public seminar, to say, I think we're right near at a bottom. When I told this story when we were at the 10-year anniversary, I was actually hosting a Dollars and Cents show in 2019, and I had done a 10-year anniversary thing. And I said at the time, I was telling the story, and I had a guy email me. And he said, this is so cool. I just happened to tune in. I was at your seminar when you said that. And the guy was very honest. And he said, I was sitting there and I was taking notes. And I even remember putting something on a note. This guy says that we're at the bottom and there ain't no way. And I sent him back. I said, man, I appreciate your honesty. I'm sure most of the people sitting there thought the same thing. But it gets back to sentiment, and everything was showing that how despondent people were. I guess I was wearing it on my face. My dad, who lives out of state, came and visited me at some point during that Great Recession, and maybe it was near the bottom. I don't remember when it was, but he told me a few years later. He said, you were not yourself. What? David? That's what my parents call me, David. David, I just, you didn't have your usual joy, and I didn't really press it. I didn't push it at all, but I could tell what you were going through as a financial advisor had really taken its toll on you. And I hated to hear that because one of the things that I pride myself on is I'm a pretty even keel guy. My wife will tell you the same thing, that I don't get overly up. I don't get really depressed. I kind of have that little narrow zone, bringing in the guardrails, and that's kind of where I live. But I guess I wasn't doing such a good job hiding it. Well, there you go. Sentiment. I guess it was even on my face. It certainly was on everybody else I was talking to. And the latest indicator that came out, if I remember right, American Association of Individual Investors, the AAII Weekly Survey, was as bearish as you could get. And I think that was the final point for me. And I said, I think this is it. The sellers have already sold. Who else is left to get out of the market? There are only some people that maybe want to start getting back in. Do you remember Warren Buffett's now famous letter to the New York Times when he was talking about he was buying stocks? Now, that was a little earlier. It wasn't at the bottom. It was a couple of months before, so we weren't quite at the bottom yet. But I think that that was also very positive for a lot of investors to see somebody like him coming out and saying, no, I'm still thinking long term. So it's all about sentiment. So where are we today? Where's the sentiment? Yeah, it's gotten a little greedy. It has. I just talked about how bad it was back in 09 that led me to make those public comments on both the show and at the seminar. We're kind of at the other end now. But is this 99 again, where we saw sentiment through the roof? Or are we just, a little bit on the way there, and we could still have room to grow before I would get too worried about it? You're hearing these calls now. It's 1999 all over again. It was the internet back then in the late 90s. And man, did we all pay a price because of the greed. And I'm not making that mistake again, for those of you who were investing back then. And so I think I might be taking profit and maybe thinking about getting out of the market because, man, I've been through that party once and I don't ever want to get invited back. So speaking of back, when we come back after this commercial break, I'm going to talk about where we were in 99 and then into 2000 and give you my real strong opinion on whether we should be worried that we're there again or don't worry about it. We're not even close. Stay with us. I'll save you the time. You don't need to call time and temperature. It's 9:35 here in St. Louis. I can't help you with the temperature. I guess I could look at my phone, but you'll have to just help yourself. So I had teased this a little bit before the break to talk about the comparisons, or lack thereof, between the top of the internet bubble back in 99 and into early 2000 and today with AI. And, man, bubble is just thrown around. Just tossed around. And that's one of the issues that I have to fight a lot, because we all remember the worst of times before. And then every time we see any hint of it, well, we compare it to that. Oh, my goodness. Is that it? More recently, remember people were talking about this is a housing bubble. It's going crazy back in, 2001 and 2002. I know I lived it. We downsized, as it turned out, in 01. It was nuts. On the good side, we sold our home that day. We had multiple offers, cash value. I mean, yeah, we saw that. But on the other side, it was our sixth house that we put a bid on when we were downsizing. And we were getting outbid by tens of thousands of dollars by a smaller home. It's just unbelievable. But I never said it. I never thought it was a bubble because, and I've said it many, many times, and I don't need to go into it all here, but it was all supply and demand. This wasn't the classic bubble that we saw in housing in the mid-2000s. It wasn't that at all. There was no greed factor. The banks were actually still doing the right job by, it's very unique to make sure that people are qualified to buy a house and take out a mortgage. Yeah, that we kind of lost that 15 to 20 years ago. So the same thing's happening now. We remember the bubble, the internet bubble. That was the big technological revolution that changed the world. And it did. It did. And now AI is also going to change the world, and it will. I'm not given to hyperbole, but I'm telling you, this is the real thing. And I talked about this the last time I was on At Your Service. I guess that was a week ago, about how we're having to rebuild the entire technological ecosystem in the world because of AI. And even companies that have nothing to do with technology, they just sell gadgets and widgets, are going to have to get involved in AI in some capacity, just like they had to have an internet or website presence. So it's the real thing. But it's not a bubble. I know I was there. And I wasn't just there investing my own money. I was there managing money through all of that, too. I've already talked about fear and greed. It was greed like I've never seen before. Unbelievable. Let me give you one example here of the big difference. For those of you who may remember this in the late 90s, all of these new IPOs, initial public offerings, and they were setting records. In 96, for example, there were over 670 new companies that went public. That, because there are about 240 trading days, do the math, between two and three a day in 1996 alone. That was kind of just, that was the launching pad of the internet craze. Now, we never got to that number again, but from 95 to 99, those 5 years, The average number of IPOs was 475. Again, about two a day for 5 years, and almost so the vast majority of them were related to the new internet. Today, the average during the so-called AI phenomenon, just the last 3 years, is 133 per year, the last 3 years. It was 475 back 25 years ago, and it's 133 today. And most of the new companies coming public now, this is the big key, have nothing to do with AI specifically. These are not AI or technology companies. In fact, look up Astera Labs, A-S-T-E-R-A Labs. They are about to go public, and that's what a lot of people who look at IPOs, that this is the next big one. Why is everyone talking about this? Because it's one of the few AI companies going public. It's not. It wasn't that way during the craze, when back then all you had to say is, I am about to sell some products online on this new thing called the internet. And you would go to people who had the money, a lot of these folks, entrepreneurial types who invested in these startup tech stocks out in Silicon Valley, and they would say, what are you selling? I don't know yet. Oh, but it's going to be on the internet? What's the name of the company? I don't know yet, but it's going to have .com in it. Okay, how much you want? 50 million? I'm barely exaggerating. That's not the way it is today. Astera Labs, when they go public, they're going to raise it's going to be worth about $534 million. So it's not even a billion-dollar company, but it's getting a lot of attention already. And by the way, they make the data centers for the connectivity chips in AI. That's a big thing, by the way, as I get off same topic, but off the side road here a little bit. Data centers. I don't give buy, sell, hold recommendations, but if you ever want to look at anything that's investing in these AI data centers, you got something. Do your own research. And Astera Labs is involved in that kind of thing. That is not a buy recommendation for that company. I have not looked at the financials, folks. I have no idea if that's going to be a viable company or not. I use this as an example. The reason why it's getting such big attention, and it's not even a billion-dollar company, at least starting out, is because it's one of the few pure AI plays. Now, let me also talk about margin debt. This is also what happens when you have greed that takes over Wall Street and takes over the psyche of the average investor, where you will borrow against your own assets. Maybe you'll even take out a home equity loan, which was a big thing back in the late 90s, to unlock the value of your home, because you just look at it sitting there not helping you financially. All of this money's tied up in this fixed asset of your home. You go in, you take out a loan, and you're going to invest in these things that, heck, they go up every day. Just like the guy who called me and said, what do you think of this stock? I don't know, never heard of it. What they do? They go up. Margin debt today is historically average. It wasn't that way back in the day. This is one of our technical indicators, by the way. When I look at sentiment stuff, I'm looking at the chart right now. I'm going to get really in the weeds here. Bear with me. It's a little technical, but I look at a chart that shows the margin debt and the S&P 5 real value inverted. How about that? And it gives me a clear picture when I look at the inversion of it, that whenever S&P inverted and margin come together on the chart, that is typically shows a lot of greed. You do not want to invest. Well, they came together on March 1st of 2000. Wow. And that was at the peak of the internet bubble. The market actually peaked March 10th. It was one of the few things when the inverted S&P and margin debt came together. What was another date that it came together? Looking at it here. October 1st of 07. right at the start of the Great Recession. By the way, this is one of the few little hidden technical indicators that I never see from any analyst research. I mean, in our little area here in good old flyover St. Louis, Missouri, is my team the only one that really looks at this? It's really useful. And we get it from FINRA, which is a, no, I don't know, do we get it from FINRA? I'm just looking at it here, but it says FINRA. So I guess that's probably maybe where a website is that we get it from, I guess. One of my team members is the one who puts it on my desk on a regular basis. When the lines are far apart, that is not necessarily, or that's actually a better time to buy when you've got the inverted S&P and margin debt when you look at the way that the chart comes out. When was the last time that we saw that they were really, really far apart? Oh, at the beginning of 2023. Oh, what happened in 23? Oh, the NASDAQ was up over 40%. The S&P and Dow were both up double digits. Can I tell you that right now the two lines are historically about average in terms of their separation? Folks, I got to go to a break here, but I'm telling you, there is no bubble. But I will tell you that there's some froth. I would love to see the market pull back here a little bit. I was actually happy to see the market sell off late last week. And I was hoping that we would get a carry through. But we're not, I don't know, we still could. But it may not be happening. I would love to get some of the Johnny-come-lately day traders out there who confuse brains with a bull market. Have them get a little pain, leave the party, and the rest of us will stay in and we'll eventually see this thing go higher, which I believe the trend is still higher, but it can't go up in a straight line. If it does, and we don't get any kind of meaning, and by meaningful, I'm just talking any like even a 5 to 7% correction. I'm not talking about a 20% bear market, just a little off the top. And then let it sit there for a while, especially AI stocks. And I'm talking my book here. We own AI stocks. And I tell my clients, I wouldn't mind seeing a 10, 15% correction in some of these AI stocks to keep us from getting to a 99. So, my friends, we're not there yet. We could, though, in a couple of years, if this thing just goes straight up, which you may love for now, but will learn to hate later. We'll come back and close out this week's edition, at least where I'm sitting, of At Your Service. Stay with us.
KMOX, where every crack of the bat resonates with tradition, passion, and the spirit of Cardinals Nation.
Welcome back, everybody. I totally forgot about this. I've mentioned that I will be back on the next time for At Your Service will be 2 weeks from tonight on Tuesday, March 26th, but I'm on this Sunday, 5 days from now, for a regular Dollars and Cents show. So that, of course, is all finance and investment related. So a lot of what I'm talking about here tonight, I'm sure that I will repeat in a different way and then have some fresh things to talk about on Sunday. So I really hope you can all join. That's this Sunday from 3 to 5 here on KMOX for the Dollars and Cents show. All right, so yeah, we were talking a little bit about the comparison between the bubblicious days of some 25 years ago and today, and there's just no comparison. That's not to say, again, that things aren't a little stretched, a little overvalued, and even though that we own some of the stocks that would be that would suffer in a pullback, we still need to do it. We just have to take some of that harsh medicine. Speaking of harsh medicine, I am fortunate that I have never owned an airline stock. There are people a lot smarter than me who have owned them, and if you know how to trade them, I guess you can make some money. But if you're a long-term holder, it's just not been a good investment. One of the classic quotes of all time comes from someone who's got a whole book of them, the great Warren Buffett. This is one of my favorites. If a far-sighted capitalist had been present at Kitty Hawk, he would have done his successors a huge favor by shooting Orville down. He's basically lamenting the fact that even the great Warren Buffett himself has lost a ton of money on airline stocks, most famously in the late 80s. And I think it was United. I forget, but he even wrote about this in some of his missives back then. Just a terrible investment for him. And it's just he struggled. He's been in and out since then with some airline stocks with some success, but not always. Not what you would expect from the Oracle of Omaha. Just a great line. I bring that up because today, this is very timely, Southwest Airlines had its worst single day for its stock since the time that we were talking about earlier this hour, since early 09. In the waning days of the Great Recession, back on January 23rd of 2009, in one day, the stock of Southwest Airlines fell 18%. Now, that wouldn't surprise me because people didn't have money back then. They were struggling. They weren't flying. It's almost like its own little pandemic, if you will, from a financial standpoint. Well, today, the stock fell 15%, the worst day in 14 years. Why? I do a lot of flying. I was just on Southwest again last week, and that's my main domestic airline is Southwest. I love it for what I need. I don't need all the frills. I'm a preferred traveler, so at least I get on early. I pick my seat, but I don't need the club to go sit. It's just not me. So Southwest fits me perfectly. I love it. But I've never invested in it. Normally, a product or a company that I use religiously and I love it, there's a good chance at some point I may own its stock personally. I've never bought Southwest, though. For things like this, how could in these times when people are flying more and the Southwest flights that I go on are always packed? Because they'll always say, folks, the people that unfortunately have to be in the C line, so they're the last ones getting on, and they are going to have to pick the middle seat among strangers they don't know. And I love when the flight attendants say, hey, for you folks still getting on, don't come back here. They're all taken. Look to your left. Look to your right. You see a middle seat? Take it. Okay? Why did Southwest fall today so much? Well, they said that their first quarter revenue is going to be relatively flat. They had expected growth between 2.5% to 4.5%. In particular, is something called lower than expected close-in leisure volume. What the heck is close-in? Or it's actually close. Close-in leisure passenger volume. Close-in volume refers to flights that you book within a few weeks of the flight. It's literally 21 days. That's very profitable. As you may know, you wait to the last second, you're paying more. For some reason that's not been explained, that has dried up and people are booking their flights more in advance. So there you go. Do with that information what you will, but I'm with Warren Buffett. Always been a bad investment. I hope to talk to you this Sunday, Dollars and Cents from 3 to 5. Until then, have a great rest of your week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.